direct from Anaheim. It's blindbargains.com coverage of CSUN 2019. Brought to you by AFB Access World. For the latest news and accessibility information on mainstream and access technology, Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon offerings, access technology book reviews and mobile apps, and how they can enhance entertainment, education, and employment, log on to Access World, the American Foundation for the Blind's free monthly online technology magazine. www.afb.org/aw. Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
Blind Bargains 2019 at CSUN. I have found Terrell Thompson, who is the Technology Accessibility Specialist at the University of Washington. And the reason that we have in mind, well, a couple reasons, but one is many people have asked us over the years, hey, where did you get that awesome web player for the site? Well, Terrell is the reason we have that. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So that's called Able Player. And why don't you go ahead and tell people a little bit about how that all got started?
Okay. Well, it originated back in the early days of HTML5. When HTML5 first came out, it offered the new audio tag and the new video tag, which made it possible to add audio and video to web pages natively, so we didn't have to have flash players and other third-party plugins in order to play media. And it also included the track tag, which made it possible to add captions and an audio description that's text-based and lots of other features that can benefit accessibility. And so I immediately was intrigued by that, but it has taken a while, even now, many years later, actually. Browsers still don't fully support the HTML5 spec, the accessibility features that are available for audio and video. So that was really kind of the incentive, was to just play around with what the HTML5 spec offered and to build a player that would be standards-based, so it's just valid HTML, but that has your full accessibility baked in. So it started as an audio player, and that was a private project, just something I was working on my own time.
Okay.
And the work that I do, because we produce a lot of videos, we want all those videos to be accessible, and we're always looking for innovative ways to deliver that accessible video, then expanding what I had already done with audio made perfect sense with the grant-funded projects that we had. And so then Able Player became a video player. It's the only video player now still that supports all five types or kinds of HTML5 track elements. And so HTML5 has the track tag, and the track tag has the kind attribute, which allows you to specify what kind of track this is. And so there's kind equals captions, kind equals subtitles. There's also kind equals descriptions, and kind equals chapters, and kind equals metadata. And so those latter three are the ones that no browser supports.
Still.
And no other media player that I'm aware of supports them either. Chapters is really handy because you can add structure to a video. So if you got a longer video and you want to break it up into different segments, that really is super handy.
Sure, so, some podcasts do that.
Yeah, so that makes it possible. And each of these track tags is a WebVTT file. That's a separate W3C specification. And it's just time text. They're very simple to produce. They're all the same format. The one that we're really interested in exploring actively is descriptions. That audio description historically has been something where you script it and you then record voiceover narration and then mix that in some way with the program audio. And it's really a professional skill, and typically it's outsourced and costs quite a bit of money if you do a lot of it. But we in the university really are wanting to make audio description widely available. There's a big need for it. We've got, you know, videos that aren't accessible. And so, you know, we're trying to get buy-in for making our video accessible. We're starting to get that with captions, but descriptions is a whole new realm. And so one of the things that text-based description does is it makes it really easy to produce descriptions as long as the scripting isn't too difficult. If it's just a case where Yeah, maybe there's some on-screen text that isn't verbalized, and so that needs to be made accessible. Or maybe it's a lecture and the professor is demonstrating and didn't properly describe what they were doing. Then yeah, that can be described really easily.
So all
you
got
to do
goal,
is type it.
Yeah, so would the goal be to, yeah, to find a simple way or a simpler way for people to create audio described content? In other words, you don't need to be a professional to add these simple types of descriptions.
Exactly, yeah. And so we've developed a flowchart. It's kind of a work in progress, but an audio description flowchart where you've produced a video. Now you need to think about the content that you've produced and figure out what your audio description needs are. So, you know, if the video is fully accessible just by audio alone, then you don't need description. But if you've got some information that's communicated only visually, you've got to describe that. And so then the question is, can I do it myself, or do I need to send it out to a professional? And so we've got some questions that we ask that sort of guide people through that process.
And you were talking a couple minutes ago about text-based audio description versus produced, and I can see advantages both ways. Text-based might be actually really good for deafblind people or people using a braille display, where the produced sometimes you can have more feeling, and there are other advantages.
True. Yeah. Yeah. So back to Able Player then. Able Player supports both, and so we want to give the author flexibility in how they deliver their description. You know, if they produce text-based description, then that text is exposed at the right time. Because again, it's a track tag and it's a time-stamped text file, and So we know when the description is supposed to happen, and at that moment we expose it. The technical details are, it's exposed via an ARIA Live region, and so screen readers then will announce that at the appropriate time. So we also support a separate video. So if somebody has two videos, they've got a version without audio description and a version with audio description, then you can toggle between the two. There's a description on button. Visibly, it's the letter D, kind of the standard description symbol. But you select that, and it toggles the version of the video that you see. And it supports YouTube as well. So you can have a YouTube, two versions, both uploaded to YouTube. YouTube doesn't provide any sort of means of syncing those so that one is actually, you know, explicitly associated with the other. But with Able Player, you can do that with the two YouTube videos. You can have a one that's a non-described source file, and the other that is a described source file, and the one that actually gets delivered to the user depends on whether the user has their description button toggled on or not.
So even with the YouTube video, you will get the Able Player for YouTube, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's correct.
So if I am a website owner and I want to put more accessible experience on my website, we did this with the audio player for Blind Bargains, and of course you could do it with the video player. How much of a leap is that for a novice or intermediate web developer? How would they go about that?
If they are a web developer, then I like to think it's pretty easy. And that is if they are a little bit comfortable with code, but the instructions are provided on the Able Player homepage. And so really all you got to do is follow the instructions. There's some code that you could just copy and paste, and then it's ready to roll. If you're not a web developer, but you're more of a content person, then we're actually working on that too, just trying to get more adoption. There is a rudimentary WordPress plugin and a rudimentary Drupal module, and those are both being actively improved upon. Yeah, we're hoping to just make it easier for site owners to add accessible video to their sites using those two content management systems.
And you were telling me before we started the recording, it's all open source as well. If people want to contribute, or...
Right, true. It's on GitHub, and so anybody that knows that world, there are actually lots of ways that people can contribute. Just filing bugs is a way that some people contribute. Also language translation. It's been translated into about a dozen different languages, and so if somebody's multilingual and he knows a language that it hasn't been translated into, we've got all the text prompts in a single translation file, and so all they got to do is take that file and translate it into another language.
What's the website for people to get more information about AblePlayer?
Well, it's probably the easiest way to get there is just search AblePlayer and you'll find it. But it is on GitHub, and that URL is ableplayer@github.io/AblePlayer. And AblePlayer is all one word with no hyphens or dashes or underscores.
AblePlayer at or AblePlayer dot?
AblePlayer.github.io/AblePlayer.
Perfect. Now, when you're done watching all of these videos or listening to audio, well, you might just want to sit back and watch some sports. Hey, it's March Madness coming up right about now, and for the past several years, you have had another kind of side gig producing a really cool, accessible NCAA tournament bracket. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this started in 2006, I believe, so wow. I think 13 years now. And it originated, this will have to go way back, because I've always been a basketball junkie. I grew up in the town in Indiana where we have the world's largest high school field house that seats almost 10,000 people and would routinely sell out for Friday night high school basketball games. So basketball's in my blood, and I really love March Madness. And when the tournament pairings are announced on Sunday, it's going to be just a Sunday this week, it's really an exciting time for me because I love just finding out who's going to be playing who and then speculating on who's going to be playing who in later rounds. So it's really, you know, a fun thing to kind of look ahead in the tournament and say, oh, well, you know, Duke and Carolina might be playing, you know, in the third round, and that'll be a fun one to watch if it happens, and then sort of study the bracket. And visually, a bracket appears mostly with a bunch of lines that are connecting, you know, to other games. But the challenge for somebody who's non-visual is, you know, how do I study a bracket and think ahead and, you know, analyze all those bits and pieces.
Especially if you do not know all of the pairings and who would play who and
exactly,
trying to
think
all that through.
Yeah, and so that was the challenge that I have contemplated ever since I've been in the accessibility field and finally took action on it in 2006 was, you know, I've got a lot of friends who are you know, basketball fans that are not visual. And yeah, I wanted to build something that they could utilize to have the same experience. And so we have a shared March Madness experience. And so the bracket itself was how this all started. It was taking a visual bracket, and it still looks like a visual bracket. It's HTML with CSS that presents it in a way that looks just like any other bracket. But behind the scenes, there's some well-structured HTML code using headings and lists that describes the, you know, the nature of, you know, the relationships between all the teams and all the games. And so somebody can navigate this from round to round and region to region and really study the bracket with a screen reader in the same way that I study it visually. So that was the vision. And it, as it turns out, it really is pretty simple to pull that off. And, you know, it's kind of built as a prototype, with the hope being that other brackets would follow suit. And, you know, I've reached out to ESPN and CBS Sports and NCAA.com and tried to get them to integrate some of the things that I've done. But so far, most of the brackets out there are still pretty inaccessible, unfortunately. And so I keep this up every year. I, you know, build a new bracket. And originally it was just the bracket itself, but then I started getting requests for a tournament pool because most of those are inaccessible as well. And so now I've got an interactive site, and have had for a number of years, where people can log in and fill out. Anybody can do this, can log in, create an account, fill out a bracket, and then you compete with everybody else who's there. But it also supports groups. So if you wanted a, you know, a private pool, you could set that up too and invite, you know, select people and have your own little thing. So it grows every year. Last year we had over 100 participants.
Wow.
And a lot of groups, a lot of companies that have blind employees are starting to embrace this and create accounts and set up their own private pools for, you know, that allows their employee to participate. So it's pretty cool.
And having done the mainstream brackets, and I'll do them here and there, the experience on this thing is so much simpler because there you kind of are doing a lot of guessing and going back and forth and remembering and like, okay, who does this team now play? And you know, it's just so much simpler when you create things accessibly from the start, which of course is what you're trying to show people.
Right. Yeah, and I've tried, a few years ago, I tried a little bit of a departure because, you know, I kind of hate that this is, in some ways, a segregated site, you know. There shouldn't be a separate accessible bracket. You know, all the other brackets should be accessible. So, like I say, you know, I've reached out to those companies. I haven't gotten any sort of response. But I also tried creating, at the time, I created a Grease Monkey script a few years ago, which would be a plugin in Firefox that somebody would have to use that would modify the code of an existing site. So I think I did ESPN and tried to modify their bracket so that it was accessible and somebody could use it. And so I'm actually kind of working on that again this year as a side thing. So it's not going to replace the bracket that I do, but it'll be a supplement. And this time it would be a bookmarklet so that it would work in any browser. The user doesn't have to use Firefox. They can use, you know, Chrome or IE, whatever they want to use. But it would modify the code on a mainstream site. Maybe ESPN, maybe CBS Sports, maybe Fox Sports, maybe NCAA.com, or, you know, those are the top bracket sites, I think. And somebody can get a somewhat accessible experience on those sites. So if they happen to be using those sites anyway, or they know people that have invited them to participate in a, you know, pool with those sites, then, you know, they'd be able to. So I've run into some challenges with that. It's because the sites are so inaccessible, it really is hard to fix them. But I'm hoping to have at least a little something that makes it a bit more usable experience. And that would be available on the main bracket site. There'll be a, you know, some sort of promotional plug for them.
And what's the address for that?
That's my name, terrellthompson.com/NCAA. That's where you can access the bracket. And whatever I come up with in the way of a bookmarklet will be linked from there as well.
That's TERRILL. THOMPSON.
Right.
.com/NCAA.
Correct. Yep.
Awesome. We'll definitely try to get some people to sign up for that. And hey, you could never do too many brackets, man.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about making the others accessible, too, is that mine's a no money pool. You know, it's just bragging rights. A lot of fun, but.
You don't have a $50,000 prize for the winner of your pool?
Unfortunately, I don't. Huh. But if, you know, if you want, so if you want the big money, you're going to have to play, you know, on ESPN. And. Or, you know, one of the other sites, and they're not particularly accessible. So hopefully the bookmarklet will at least make that possible.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully this helps with some of our listeners that have been asking about where the awesome web player came from and then also the tournament bracket as well. I do appreciate you sharing and your patience. See, the listeners don't realize sometimes things happen that we had to run over in the middle of this interview and go get batteries from the gift shop because my recorder died. So there you go. I appreciate your patience and your willingness to talk to us today.
But now JJ knows where to get all the good stuffed Disney dolls. So
that is true. But I am out of money because the batteries were $11. I gotta win the tournament pool now. So. Thanks, Cheryl.
You bet.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys. Online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.